want to get out to the Hive Talk Live hotline, where Jonathan Jones is standing by live from sunny Miami, Florida. He's covering the series for the Charlotte Observer. Jonathan, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Jonathan, I'm a little jealous. I just took a work trip down to Naples, Florida, and had just enough time to get 2 feet on the sand. I looked left, I looked right, and then I had to go right back to work. Hopefully, you've enjoyed more of Florida than I had a chance to.
Yeah, you know, I got to be honest with you. Miami's not ever really been my town, but when you have 72 hours between games, if you don't make it out to the beach, I don't really know what you're doing. So I was able to do that today. It's been good.
You fit in more out there anyway, don't you, JJ?
Why would you say that? Hold on. Why would you say that?
Because if you've ever hung out with JJ, he's got those deep, deep cut V-necks. And I make fun of him for this all the time. So this is nothing new to him. But he fits in down there with those deep V-neck t-shirts that I know he's wearing right now, especially. I know he fits in perfectly right now.
Very true. Very true, Nada. Well done.
Well, Jonathan, V-neck or not, you're enjoying it. The Hornets haven't enjoyed it so far. How is the mood around Hornets practice today and yesterday, both from the player side and Coach Clifford?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're still upbeat. And look, Clifford has really beaten into them, and they certainly do believe it. And to a measure, it's true. Whether they lost by 1 or lost by 30, the series is 1-0, and there's nothing really you can do about that. So I get it that, and I see both sides. I guess is what I'm trying to say is that, look, and you lose by 31 in the playoffs, especially in the opener, that has to be somewhat demoralizing. But on the other side of that token, I think a lot of people say, look, it's just 1-0, and as Noah was saying earlier, as we've all said, it's an aberration. Now, does that mean that I think the Hornets are going to win 4 straight? No, I don't. And I don't know if they're even going to win tomorrow night. But I long expected this game to be played in the mid-90s. I'm talking 95 to 93. That would be a very normal final score for the rest of the series. Whichever way it goes, it goes. But no one expected the Heat to score 123. And if either one of these teams for the rest of this series get over 110, I would be surprised.
JJ, one thing, I know that Clifford has already talked about not changing up the lineups, but did he say expect more, I don't know, Troy Daniels, maybe a little bit more Jeremy Lamb?
No, you know, that didn't really come up. I think there's been so much focus on how Hassan White dominated and how Cody or Al and what they need to do right there. You know, I think for a lot of fans and a lot of observers who may be watching this and they say, oh, well, clearly what the Hornets need to do is they need to put Al Jefferson in there, and then Hassan Whiteside is going to have more trouble with him. Well, Whiteside played pretty well against both of them, number one, on the offensive side. And then on the defensive side, Eric Spoelstra, as soon as Al Jefferson went in there to match up against Whiteside, after about 2 possessions, Amari Stoudemire was heading over to the scores table to check in. So they do have an antidote for that, for the Hornets' antidote. So I don't think it's as simple as just, oh, just put an L and play him more against Hassan. No, it's not that simple, because then they'll play Amari a little bit more, and those two guys match up a lot better with one another.
So it doesn't sound like this team's panicking, Jonathan. I mean, Clifford's a very even-keel coach anyway, and I think hopefully that's trickled down to this team. But even after the game, you know, they were certainly down, but it doesn't feel like they were distraught. Would you say that's still the case?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Kemba's still very upbeat. And you know, he said something today that, you know, these players are wired so differently. And he thought that they were still in the game, that they were going to make a run up until midway through the fourth quarter. And that's when he was like, all right, we need to pack this in, guys. Like, it's not going to happen. You know, I heard you guys earlier say after the first quarter, you know, it was kind of over. You know, I thought if they could get to halftime and it'd be a 10-point game.
Yep.
And then at the end of the third quarter, it's a 7-point game, and then whatever happens in the fourth half. But as soon as it was not a 10-point game at halftime, and then they came out as cold as they did in the third quarter, that's when I knew the game was definitely over. I could go ahead and start writing my copy for deadline.
Jonathan Jones, Charlotte Observer, joining us live from Miami, side of Game 2 on Wednesday night. Jonathan, is there anything that the Hornets players or Coach Clifford pointed to specifically that seemed to put a wrench into their defensive plans against Miami?
Yeah, so it's interesting and a little complicated, but the Miami's pick and roll game is really good. So number one, Dragic can shoot the ball off the pick and roll. He didn't do that all that often, and he didn't really do that well against the Heat. But what we saw and what we all know about is Hassan Whiteside has 5 dunks, most of those coming off of the pick and rolls, and really bad rotations. Well, what you have is you have Luol Deng doing a Magetti cut off of the weak side of the pick and roll. And so the Hornets are able to stop that sometimes, but they have to be cognizant of that. And so the Heat can do 3 things off their pick and roll. And number one is obviously Dragic, he can shoot the ball, they can lob it to Whiteside as they did many times, or they can find that cutter like a Luol Deng, like he's been so good at his entire career. Well, Dragic, I think, was 2 of 8 maybe, shooting off the pick and roll. They were able to stop Deng cutting, though they didn't stop him doing anything else, but they got 2 out of 3, obviously, Whiteside. Their defensive rotations were off the entire game, and so to them, they're saying, hey, we can fix this. We know what's wrong. The spacing in the back is a little different because of how Spoelstra likes to play perimeter and post guys along the baseline at very random times, especially in their half-court set. So they know the issues. It's just going to be a matter of actually applying it in game 2.
JJ, anything from Marvin Williams? Because I know a lot of folks were disappointed in his performance. So do you expect him to bounce back?
You know, I think so. Now, as far as defense goes, I think a lot of people looked at kind of the plus-minus, and they see Luol Deng with 31, and then they see that, you know, Marvin was matched up against him. Well, again, going back to defensive rotations, and I wasn't able to watch the entire game in full down here, but I certainly know that it wasn't like Luol Deng was just dropping 31 right in Marvin's face the entire time. That was a very bad team defense that gave, and Luol Deng did take some of, but also gave Luol Deng 31 points. Then on the offensive side, well, he went 1 for 7. I asked him about it. He said, I'll take 1 for 7. That's not going to bother me one bit. He said, these are the shots that I shoot. It wasn't like he was getting all terrible shots or anything like that, save for one, I think, where he thought he got fouled there in the paint. But 6 of those 7, I think he would take any other day. And, of course, the cliche, the shots just didn't fall. But, the sample size is so small. And after 2 games at this team, loses by 31 again, and Joe Johnson goes all for 30, and Marvin goes 1 for 7, and Frank decides that he can't shoot the ball out there, then I think Hornets fans should really be pressed to panic button.
The Hornets have had 2 days to mix some rest, some practice, and some tape study. Jonathan, how are they dealing with the extended time between that Game 1 loss and Game 2?
Yeah, so plenty of tape. They put on the flash drive and they're watching it on laptops. We saw Clifford setting up the projector and the whiteboard when we were kicked out of practice earlier today. I know for a guy like Marvin Williams, still very close with Raymond Felton, his 2005 national championship teammate at UNC. So he watched very close with the Mavs game last night, was happy for Ray. These guys are also still very close with Portland, obviously with Gerald Henderson, with Brad Roberts, with Noah Vonleh. And so, if I'm not mistaken, Portland might play tonight. And so I think that's what they'll be up to tonight. And I could be wrong on that. But yeah, I mean, they're watching basketball at night. And during the day, they're watching basketball to watch themselves. And they're not, as far as I know, I haven't checked the police blotter lately, but not getting in trouble down here. So that's good.
Important follow-up question. You mentioned the flash drives. What are they rocking there? 8 gig? They use an SD cards? What are the?
Oh man, if I even knew what any of that stuff actually meant, I don't know. But they have some type of flash drive, some whatever they call them nowadays, right?
It's in the computer.
It's a series of tubes. Jonathan, points in the paint, something the Hornets have been able to contain for most of the season. Opponents average 40 per game. During the regular season, the Heat scored 56 in Game 1. How important to the Hornets is reducing that number, and do they have a plan to stop it?
Well, and so the interesting thing and the kind of misleading thing about that is that while the Hornets have been very good at points in the paint, and you mentioned 40 allowed, which I think was tied with the Spurs for maybe the 3rd or 4th best in the NBA this past season, they haven't been as good against the Heat. And so, yeah, I mean, we can take what they've done against everybody, people can take against what the team that they're playing against for potentially seven games and what they did against them for four of the regular season.
Which one makes me feel better? I want that one.
I'm sorry. But their last regular season game against the Heat, I think Clifford said they gave it something like 56 against the Heat. And so this is really in line with what they did in the last game. And that turned out to be a win for the Hornets, of course, but you're not going to win if you give up that many points, if the differential's that much. Look, the points in the paint are also, we got to take into account the second chance points, and they have to get on the defensive glass. I mean, that was pitiful that they only rebounded 61% of reboundable balls there, and that the Heat was able to get 14 offensive rebounds. That's not the Charlotte Hornets. They will get defensive rebounds. First in the NBA in percentage, around 74%, I think. So they're going to, or maybe 76%. And so to get to 61, that's such a huge gap. And if they can't play their game there in the paint, then they're just not going to win this series.
Your colleague Scott Fowler at The Observer wrote that Kemba Walker still hasn't won a playoff game with the Charlotte Hornets, and he's not going to anytime soon unless he starts shimmying and shining. Did Kemba have any comments at practice today on his performance and whether anything needed to change on his end?
Yeah, he had an interesting note. The sideline reporter for TNT asked him, Kemba, do you think you need to shoot a little more? And I think his numbers were fine. I mean, what was he, 6 for
13.
14 or 13, there you go. 6 for 13, so a decent average, 19 points, just under his season average. But look, we all know everything ratchets up in the playoffs, and we all know that this team is really feeds off of his energy. Of course, that first quarter, no one's really getting all energized after that first quarter if you're wearing teal and purple. So we all get that. But number one, the interesting thing that he said today was after he said, yeah, I don't think I need to shoot more. I liked my shots, and I was trying to be aggressive. But every time he got past the guy, there was another guy. And he was talking about the Heat defense. And I don't know if that means that he's going to need a few more ball screens. I don't know. If there's going to need to be some better ball movement and spacing on the Hornets' offensive side. But I found that interesting where he just said, yeah, every time I tried to make a move and I thought I got past someone, there came another Heat defender.
He's Jonathan Jones, writer for the Charlotte Observer. He's down in Miami covering this, hopefully what will become a more heated playoff series as we continue on. Friends call him JJ, apparently, and he loves these V-neck T-shirts. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate the info.
Hey, appreciate it, fellas.
All right, catch you later, JJ.
See you.